Welcome this morning. I want to first of all start off and bring us back to where we were last week, because we are doing part two of healing as part of the atonement, or I put down in my notes healing and the atonement. And I really believe that healing is something that we need to hear today in the church, even though we should be well established in this. You know, there's not that much out there on healing. You know, how many times I've had someone that was sick, a friend or whatever, and just would have loved to have blessed them with all kinds of books and there's not that much out there on just healing. And so I think it's important that we do this teaching and that we become established in this truth. Now, last week we began this teaching with the verse taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And this verse reads, "He that spared not his only son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" Now, I love the word freely. I don't know about you. When I see the word freely in the Bible, I get excited, because that qualifies all of us. It gets your eyes off of yourself and onto him. As soon as you think there's something that you have to do in order to qualify for a promise or for something that God gives, then it gets your eyes onto you. It gets your eyes onto your performance. But when you see the word freely, it's like, whoa, okay. Freely is freely. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. If you look up that word freely, it actually says a gift. And if it's a gift, then it's not something you earn. It's a gift. It's free. And so I love that word. That qualifies you, me, and everybody that this scripture is talking to for all God's good things. Amen? And last week, I read this scripture in the light of healing and health. There's many good things God gives, but one of the things that we need to be established in and have a strong faith in is our own health, our divine health or healing or wholeness, peace, whatever word you want to call it. And if our Heavenly Father was willing to freely part with and give up his son, his only son, for us, while we were yet in our sins, when there was nothing about us, we didn't even know God or have any desire for him. In other words, if God our Father withheld not from us his most precious, valuable, costly, perfect, glorious possession, I'll call Jesus his possession because I don't know of a better word to use, while we were still in our sin, do you think that this same Heavenly Father is now going to withhold healing from you? Divine health, wholeness in any way? And especially now that you and I have received him, received Jesus, is he now going to withhold healing and health after giving him up while we were yet sinners? In other words, now that we are his children, now he's going to be stingy with that? Because if he withholds healing, then that says that our healing is worth more to him than his own son. And yet he gave up his own son that we might be reunited back with him. And according to last week's teaching, not only does he not withhold his healing and health from us, he has already healed all of us who are in Christ. In the same way, okay, let me ask you a question. How many of your sins are forgiven here this morning? How do you know that? How do you know that all of your sins are forgiven? Because the Bible says so. Amen. There is no other way for us to be assured. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became our sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that he took our transgressions and bore and carried our iniquities. So in the same way that all of your sins, your whole lifetime of sins, because you are a child of God, are forgiven, they are already forgiven, even ones you haven't committed yet, because if Jesus didn't die for all of your sins, then we're in trouble. Then there's still sins that haven't been paid for. But he died for all of your sins. And forgiveness was released to each one of us when we received Jesus Christ, and that we received the whole fullness of forgiveness, not just forgiveness as we go along, because if it's up to us to remember and to confess every sin, we're also in trouble. Because sometimes we are missing the mark and we don't even know it. I want to be forgiven according to his knowledge of sin, not mine. And so I know that I am freely forgiven, even the sins I haven't even committed yet. So too, you need to see this in the same light. All of your sicknesses and your diseases have been or are healed in the body of every child of God, because just like we know we're forgiven of all sin, all of our sins were laid upon Jesus. He suffered the penalty for all of our sin, and by his blood he washed us all clean. That's why we can boldly and confidently say this day, I am forgiven. It's not that you're that good. He was that good. I received this huge gift of forgiveness. In the same light, all of your diseases, your sicknesses, your pains, your sores, your griefs was also at the same cross, on the same body, laid upon Jesus Christ. And so today we can boldly and confidently say, I am healed. So how can we be absolutely assured of this truth? I want to take us back. We did this with the girls on Sunday night in Bible study, and I know that some of the girls really appreciated it, because these words sometimes, especially in the King James Version, which I'm reading from, we use these words differently in the English language. And we need to really rip this thing apart and find out what Jesus Christ really did when he went to that cross, so that you and I can never have a doubt again about our healing. Let's go to Isaiah 53, and here we read scriptures that Isaiah prophesied concerning the suffering of Jesus Christ at the cross, the Messiah. And all of these sufferings are written out for us, all them that he endured, that he might make, he was the sacrifice, he made the atonement for the sins and the diseases and the sicknesses of all his people, of all people. But only those of us who receive Jesus qualify for these gifts, so to speak. Actually, that's not true. God heals even those who are not his children. Sorry, I take that back. But I guess what I'm saying is those that are not his children don't know about these gifts. They don't have the faith themselves. It's not that they don't qualify, but then it's that they themselves don't know about them and cannot receive them by faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So let's continue on here with Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4. Let's open up with verse 4. Surely, okay, anytime a verse starts with surely, you know it's an absolute positive thing. Surely he, Jesus Christ himself, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement needful, for our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. Now, surely Jesus has borne our griefs. What is the word has? It's past tense. It's already happened. Where? At the cross. Now, the word griefs, what does that word mean? In the Hebrew, it is the word koli. Koli, I think, is how you pronounce it. And it means our maladies, our anxieties, our diseases, our sicknesses. And this word koli is derived from the primitive root word, which means kala, which means to be rubbed. It means to be worn. Isn't that what happens in the body when the body begins to break down? To be worn out, to be rubbed, to be weak, sick, or afflicted, to make sick or be diseased, put to grief, infirmity, put to pain, to fall sick or to be sore, to become weak or to become wounded. That's what griefs means. So I don't know about you. Is there anything that you're going through in your physical body that isn't in one of those words? Pain, wound, sickness, disease, weakness, anxiety. It's all there. So surely he carried. Now the word carried or borne, pardon me, means to carry up and away. Up and away. Okay? So Jesus himself lifted up those diseases off of you and carried them away. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. In other words, we to esteem is to perceive. We perceived that he was being punished by God for saying that he was the Christ. That's how we saw it. But we did not realize he was suffering for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. Now, transgressions means our rebellion. Our rebellion. Eve rebelled against God by partaking of the fruit. He was bruised for our iniquities. What does iniquities mean? Our perversity, our wrongdoing. The chastisement. What is chastisement? It's pain and punishment for wrongdoing or for sin. The chastisement for our sins was upon him, and that was needful for our peace. And with his stripe, we are healed. Doesn't say we're going to be. We are. What does the word healed mean? Rapha. Hebrew word Rapha. Remember the names of God? El Shaddai, Rapha is one of his names. What does it mean? Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heals. Now the word Rapha or healing means to mend by stitching, to cure, to cause to heal, to repair thoroughly, or to make whole. When God heals you, he doesn't heal you halfway. He thoroughly makes you whole, through and through. Because Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, was completely undone. I'm looking for a word that I looked up in the dictionary. He collapsed. There was a word used for one of the words. Jesus Christ collapsed. When something collapses, just think of, picture something in your mind, a building that's standing, and it just down into the dust, completely broken. Jesus Christ collapsed, completely broken, undone, in the body, for you, in your place, that you might be whole, strong, thoroughly repaired in body. All of these words that we just read, anxiety, disease, sickness, weakness, soreness, infirmities, pain, all of these Jesus surely borne our griefs, surely carried away. Carried up and away, or to lift off and away. To bear. Those are some of the definitions given for the word nakah, which is born in the Hebrew. So this verse is telling us that Jesus himself lifted up, carried away all our sicknesses, our diseases, our pains, our sorrows, our weakness. And by his stripe, we were made whole and gave us his healing in place of it. The divine exchange. And just as through the shed blood, we are forgiven. The life is in the blood, Leviticus. We are forgiven and washed clean of all of our sins, is past tense. As surely as we are forgiven of our sins, we are healed. You can't say that we are more one than the other. And today I'm telling us we need to perceive this truth in the same light as you perceive your salvation. And you know, to be honest with you, I have never, and think of it this way, I have never heard even one time of one case where a sinner who recognized his need for a Savior came to Jesus and was not saved and was not forgiven of his sins. Anybody here know of anybody that went away without getting saved? I don't know of even one case in all of my 37 years as a Christian that one sinner went away without his sins forgiven. Or make them wait for their forgiveness. Why? Because those sins were already paid off. All sin was paid off at the cross. Yours, mine, and all. And just like he carried all of our sickness, sins, or sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, the same thing applies to the whole human race. This is not a promise that has to be fulfilled. It was fulfilled at the cross. So your approach to healing and my approach to healing has got to be different than what we've been doing in the past. It has to be the same approach as our forgiveness of sins, because both were part of the same atonement. You know, has anybody ever come to you and say, you know, I'm just waiting to get saved. You know, by faith, I am waiting for the manifestation of my salvation. What would you say to that person? You misunderstand. You already are saved. Did you go to Jesus? Yes. Did you invite him into your heart and to forgive your sins? Yes. Well, then you are saved. Oh, no. I'm going to walk it out, and I'm just waiting for the manifestation of my salvation. Well, you know that believing is a little bit off, because he's pushing his salvation to the future. But why is it that that's how we treat healing? I'm just waiting for the manifestation of my healing. Now, yes, there will be a manifestation in your physical body, but you need to declare it differently. You need to speak what already is and speak it boldly and with confidence. Why? Because it was part of the atonement. It can't be a more sure thing than that. There might be a lot of things you doubt God is going to do, but don't you doubt that one, because it is written out boldly in the book of Isaiah. And I know that there are still many people today in the church who believe that our physical healing was of the Spirit. And the reason they choose to believe that is because they don't see a lot of physical healing. So God must have done it for the Spirit, not the body. But Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 proves that Isaiah 53:4 is physical healing, not spiritual healing. Chapter 8 in Matthew, Let's pick it up in verse 14 and read through to 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw Peter's wife's mother, so his mother-in-law, laid sick with a fever. Verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever departed or left her. And she arose, and she probably cooked him lunch. She ministered unto them. Verse 16, and when the evening had come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed a few that were sick. No, he healed all that were sick. He healed all that were sick. Why? That it might be fulfilled, which had been spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, surely, and carried our sicknesses. Here the word griefs is translated for us in the Greek as sicknesses. So tell me, did Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law of a spiritual sickness? Was this spiritual sickness causing her to be laying down on a bed? Because if that was the case, most of the world would be laying in a bed all day long. Was she in bed because she was spiritually sick? No, it was a fever. A fever, what is a fever? It's a high temperature in the physical body. That is a physical ailment, not a spiritual one. And Jesus touched her hand, and this physical ailment left her immediately. Now, I'm going to ask us another question, because I want us to think. I want us to use our minds. You know, we have the mind of Christ, and we need to see it and to chew this thing up, come at it from different angles, ask ourselves questions as it runs parallel to the forgiveness of our sins. Because that's the only way we're going to really become established in this truth. Now, let me ask you another question. Is there any other way other than Jesus Christ and his sacrifice at the cross, or him becoming the sacrifice for your sin, is there any other way that you and me can have our sins forgiven and we can go back to the Father? Come on, is there any other way? No, there is not. Jesus said, I am. In other words, there is only one way to God the Father, and that is through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There are people that tell you there is other ways. You know, if you live good and live a good life and do good works, you know, you got a chance. No, you don't. Because you don't enter heaven by your good works. You enter heaven because of his good works. And nothing can wash away sin except the very blood of God himself. That's how evil sin is. So we know there's no other way to get to heaven except through the cross. And Jesus himself, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know he sweat drops of blood, he said to his Father, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. You think Jesus wanted to do this? Like, I'm sure his whole physical body just cringed in horror at what was ahead of him. Father, is there any other way that we could save these people? And we all know the answer to that, and he knew the answer. He was just crying out to save him from that hour. Nevertheless, he says, not my will, but yours be done. So the Bible even tells us if there had been any other way to save us, God would have spared his son from that. But there was no other way. It was that way or none at all. Nevertheless, Jesus, your will and not mine be done. And so let me ask you a question. Knowing and understanding that, do you think there is any other way for us to obtain divine health? If there had been another way, Would God not have spared Jesus all of the pain of carrying our sickness and disease? Can you imagine? Every sickness, every disease was actively at work in his body. I mean, we have a little pain here or there. And don't you think if there had been any other way to divine health that God would have spared his own son? Why do you think he poured out our sicknesses and diseases on him? Because there was no other way. Except by his stripes, we are healed. And so we need to see it in the same light as we see that our sins are forgiven. It was part of the atonement because there was no other way. And now that God had done that and allowed Jesus or put those sicknesses and diseases, let us not let this suffering be in vain. It is yours as much as forgiveness of sins is yours. There's no other way to divine health. The world might think there is, but there is not. Exercise profiteth little. Godliness profiteth unto all things. And you got to fling off the lies of the enemy. And you got to stand and say, I am healed. Look to the cross. And that's why in the book of, I believe it's in Exodus, when the plague broke out against the children of Israel, God instructed Moses to erect a bronze pole with a serpent, a bronze serpent. Bronze in the Bible stands for judgment. And he said, whoever looks at that bronze serpent, it stands for the curse, which is sickness and disease. Anybody who looked at that was made well. So that bronze serpent tells us that all of our judgments, all of the judgment of God fell upon Jesus Christ. And by his stripe, we were healed. You see, sickness and disease was just part of the curse that came in from Adam's sin. And there's nothing that's going to stop it except the stripe of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God looked after that part? Aren't you glad that he loved us so much that he not only had Jesus suffer for our sins, but our physical problems? And yet we seem to separate the two and we say things like, well, as long as they're saved, glory to God. And that's true. That is true. I mean, at the end, I mean, eternity is eternity, right? You might be sick in this life and suffer with all kinds of physical ailments. But aren't you glad God gave us health and wholeness? Because that's how much he loves you. God wants his people well. Otherwise, he would have never allowed his son to suffer for all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases if there had been any other way. God wants us well. So there is no other way for us to obtain divine health except through the cross, by the stripe of Jesus Christ. If there would have been, God would not have laid on Christ himself all of our diseases, our pains. It is his will for all his children to be free and to be healed and to live out our days in strength, just like Abraham and Moses. Their eyes were not dim, nor was their moisture abated of their strength. Which speaks of youthfulness, vigor, vitality. This is the way to divine health. But you and I, now I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. And I believe the Holy Spirit just really began to deal with me on this issue. And it's like he said to me, you need to see it as you see your salvation. Because we have been preaching and preaching about seeing yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ. Become established in that. Well, on the same hand, you need to become established in the fact that you are healed. And even in walking in righteousness or walking in that truth, the devil's going to come along and he's going to tell you, oh, you did this, or, and he's going to condemn you. But isn't it funny how as you walk in that truth, more and more and more you recognize his voice and you say, devil, I might be guilty of that, but I am still the righteousness of God in Christ because of the blood that defeated you. So skedaddle out of my face. And yet, when it comes to disease and sickness in the body, we're so quick to murmur about our aches and our pains. No, dear, this and that. And yet when it comes to the things of the Spirit as far as our salvation, we're quick to defend. I am saved. If somebody came along and tried to tell you you weren't saved, what would you do? Would you say, oh, maybe I'm not, because it doesn't look like I'm saved. I'm not acting like I'm saved all the time. Maybe I'm. Anybody here ever doubt their salvation? No. I don't believe we do. Why? Well, because of the cross. Because we know Jesus washed all our sins away. Well, you know what? Why are you doubting your healing? Look at the cross. Surely he carried all your pain, your sorrow, your suffering, your aches, whatever it is you're going through in your physical body, by whose stripe you are healed. We need to see it in the same light as our forgiveness of sins, because it's already a fact. Remember I said last week, healing is not a promise. It's a fact. If you look at it as a promise, it's always future. Then you're always waiting for something. But it is not future. It is now. Now you are the healed. So how does this change our approach to healing in our own lives? Because we all live in this body which has not been redeemed yet, which is, you know, subject to, I mean, look at this coronavirus that's going on today. I mean, my goodness sakes. How do we, you know, and I guess maybe the reason I'm bringing out this message so strongly is because I know that the coronavirus is probably just the beginning of many viruses that are going to break out. And we are the ones that have the answer to the coronavirus. We are the ones who have the light, and that the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that they're going to run to us because of the Lord our God in our midst, not because of you, but because of who's in you and what you have in him. And so we need to be established in this truth. So our approach to healing needs to change. We're no longer waiting. We're not asking God to heal us. That's like coming to God daily, trying to obtain salvation and asking him to forgive you of your sins. At what point are you forgiven? Healing's no different. Healing's already been released. God's not healing anybody today. He healed us all, just like he forgave us all in Christ. We already have it. We don't need to ask. And you know what? If God has already healed you in his Son, then there is nothing and nobody that can reverse it. It's done. What God has done for us in Christ concerning our health, no doctor's report in the natural can touch it. No pain in your body can overcome it. It's already done. Do you understand? And when your mind finally says, that's it, it is done, is when the manifestation begins to happen. As long as you're still trying to obtain it, you haven't got it yet. So how does this change our approach? You don't cry and beg for healing. You simply speak it out. Call those things that be not as though they are. Call forth it in faith. God, it delights in that, because he knows how much pain his Son had to suffer in order to get this back to you. Call forth in faith what already you are. Just like you've been calling forth, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am healed. My body is healed. Speak to your body. Your body is a dead thing. Tell it what to do in the name of Jesus. You know, you don't walk around all day speaking concerning yourself about what a great sinner you are. Do you? I sure hope not. Or you don't walk around and confess during the day a doubt as to whether you're going to make it to heaven. You don't worry about that and speak forth, oh, geez, I'm not sure. I don't feel like I'm going to get it there today. You know, yesterday there was a hope, but today not. No, we laugh at that. We think that sounds ridiculous. But yet, when it concerns our health, that's what we do. Every day there's a new ache and a new pain and a new thing to, you know, and so what do? We confess it. Ooh, my leg is hurting today. I'm in the same boat as us all. I'll tell you that right now. But glory to God, with this new revelation that the Lord has shown me, it's going to change. I am going to start speaking about my health the same way as I speak about my righteousness. And there is no devil in hell, no nothing in this world that is going to separate me from what I already have in Christ. Do you understand? And the Bible says, stand, having done all, stand. Don't you move. You who have professed a good profession of faith, because that's what that is. You are calling those things that be not as though they are. And you have the right to do that. You have the right to health. You already have the health. So you need to understand your approach must change. We are New Testament saints. And in the New Testament, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And every time you proclaim that you are the healed, did you know you are praying? That is the prayer of faith. We sometimes think of the prayer of faith because prayer has been so misunderstood. Yes, in the Old Testament, they had to pray. They didn't have what we have. Praise God. We've got such a greater covenant than they did. Christ in the Old Covenant was only to come. We have the substance, the reality of what they had, only as a shadow. And they received it through the sacrifices and the offering up of all these animals. And, you know, like I always say, it must have been a bloody mess back then. And their healing and their forgiveness of sins only lasted a year. Ours is for all eternity by one sacrifice. So every time you proclaim that you are healed, you are actually praying the prayer of faith. You are speaking it forward. And prayer for the new covenant believer is mostly, and most of the times, just a declaration of your faith. That is prayer. James chapter 5. You want to go there this morning. 16. James 5, 16. It tells us in let's back up to verse 14 and read. Is any sick among you? In other words, there shouldn't be, but if there is, let him call for the elders of the church. Why the elders? Why is it important to call for the elders? Those who have had their senses exercised to discern both which is good and evil. Hebrews chapter 6, I believe, where it talks about those who are babes in Christ. They partake of milk, but meat is for those who are skilled in the word of righteousness. Are you skilled in the word of righteousness? What does that mean? That means that you boldly declare something. You proclaim something. Why? Because you know it's all, that's who you are. That's what God has already done. So is any sick among you, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the oil of the Lord will save the person. No, save the sick. It does not say the oil of the Lord. What saves the sick? The prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? You see, we're talking about changing our approach. What is your prayer of faith? Verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. So what does that mean? I used to get confused with these scriptures, but I believe it means that, you know what, if I have a need or if I'm, you know, I've got this or going on, this or that going on, if I share it with you, Tori, then Tori, you are going to begin to speak that healing over my life as well as me. So now we got two people calling things that be not as though they are. So pray for one another, and others speak blessing over each other's lives. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, making much power available, dynamic in its working. That's what the Amplified Version says. Making much power available, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Are you a righteous man? Yes. What is the effectual fervent prayer? Because that's what the prayer of faith is. And that's why they use the analogy here of Elijah. Because he prayed the prayer of faith, which was an effectual fervent prayer. So how many of us know what that prayer was? He prayed two prayers that day. And one, the second one, we as a church look at as an effectual fervent prayer. And yet it was the first one. That was the effectual fervent prayer. So if you back up to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the prayer is written there. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It says in verse 1, and Elijah, the Tishbite, remember, he was, the Bible tells us that he was a man, just like you and I. He was human. Subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was full of emotions. He was full of feelings. You know, one day we feel this, next day we feel that, you know, and we're led and guided by our emotions. We got to stop that because God's word doesn't change by our emotions. We are healed regardless of how you feel tomorrow morning or the next day or tomorrow night. So Elijah, it says, was subject to like passions, just like we are. In other words, he was emotionally unstable, up and down and up and down. And yet, it says, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Now, what is this earnest prayer? Because this is the prayer of faith. This is the prayer that availeth much, maketh much power available. Okay? 1 Kings 17, 1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there will not be dew nor rain these years, but except according to my word. There you have it. That is the earnest prayer. What was it? A simple proclamation. It ain't gonna rain. Except I say. In other words, he believed his words. It's not going to rain. And when you speak healing over your body, you can believe your words. Not because of anything you have, you've done, or you are, but because the Bible says, by his stripe I was healed. I am healed. You can confidently believe God's word. And if God said you're healed, then it don't matter what's going on in your body because the word of God changes not. It'll never pass away. It is eternally settled in the heavens. And when you keep your mind and your focus on that, I believe faith is going to rise up on the inside of you, and those words coming out of your mouth are going to be powerful, making much power available. You know, the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness to a lie. But he loves it when you speak forth truth. And he knows the Bible. He wrote it. And when you give him those words, I'll tell you, he begins to activate the life that is in those words, and healing is quick to follow. So this was just a simple proclamation of what the Word of God, or what, when we make that simple proclamation, we are just proclaiming what God's Word says we already are. And be bold. The enemy is going to try to rip you down. He's going to try to get you to get discouraged and look at it in the natural. But you keep your eyes on that atonement that Jesus made for you at the cross. And I guarantee you, the faith for your healing will rise up on the inside of you. And you will stand strong. And you will reap if you faint not. You stand. And you keep on speaking. Because it's your words the Holy Spirit works with. Too many times we believe something in our hearts, but we never speak it. We need to be bold in our speaking. We surely speak the negative and are bold in that. We don't have to stop in the morning and tell ourselves, I got to speak the negative today. Oh, no, it just comes tumbling out of your mouth. But we need to be bold in speaking our healing. Thank God every day that you have divine health at work in your body. And the Holy Spirit will take those words and bring divine health to you. Speak them over your family, your children, your spouses. Just like Abraham and Sarah, until God changed their names, nothing happened. But when they began, Abraham means the father of many nations. Abraham was 100 years old. His body was now dead. His seed was not, let's just put it this way, wasn't producing anything. And God changed his name. And within a year, the baby came. Why? Now, Sarah called him Abraham. And every time she said the name Abraham, she was saying, father of nations, father of nations. And the people around, I'm sure, laughed. Here's this old man who's never had a baby in his life. And now his wife is calling him the father of many. You know, wherever the problem is, speak opposite to the problem every day. And after a while, those words, you don't realize the power of those words. You know, if you're struggling with sleepiness, tiredness, begin to tell yourself every day, oh, I have got more energy than I know what to do. I am the most energized person in this community or on the face of the earth. I don't care how big your faith is. If your mind is slipping, you get up every day and you say, I have the greatest memory. Man, I can remember anything. How is the man with the great memory today? How is the woman with all the strength today? And at first you might feel like, oh, brother, I feel absolutely anything but what I'm saying. But I guarantee you just keep on. And finally, Jesus is going to come to you and say, like he said to me in a certain area, finally believe. You finally get it. Remember he said that to his disciples? But you just keep on professing boldly, loudly. You speak. I've believed, therefore I speak. I'm not sitting around waiting anymore. I am healed. Just like you're not sitting around waiting for your salvation. You are saved. And you know you're saved. So you need to get to that same place and be established in health, wholeness. There will not be one feeble among us. I say that again today. The enemy has to flee. And he knows it. He knows it. So this morning, in celebrating our healing, we're going to have Holy Communion again. We'll just call and have it handed out.